Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're in a sequence of readings from St. Matthew's Gospel where there's a healing. This week, the healing of the two blind men and the dumb man when the man can't speak. Possessed with a demon. Last week, we had the healing of the paralytic, and before that, the healing of two demoniacs. Before that, the healing of the centurion's servant. Our Lord came in his ministry in this world involved healing people. The last statement, the last sentence of our gospel reading today said there are really sort of three aspects to his ministry. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching or proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom was here, near. And healing every disease and infirmity. And the healings were especially a sign, an indication that this was the Messiah, the person that, the people of Israel had been longing for. Healings continue in the life of the church this day and have throughout all of the history of the church. But there was a kind of intensity of healing that took place from our Lord precisely for this reason of testifying to who he was. And it's indicated when John the forerunner is in prison, he sends his disciples to Jesus to say, "Are you the one that we're looking for?" And Jesus says, "Well, tell them what you see, what's happening. The blind see, the lame walk, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." And so what Jesus did with his life was really a testimony, indication for people to look at him and say, "Oh, you're the Messiah, you're the one we're looking for. The one who's going to set up the kingdom, the one who's going to make things right in this world." And the interesting thing, of course, is that people were very confused. This is the Messiah, and they were very happy when he was healing their illnesses. But he wasn't setting up a kingdom the way they wanted him to set up a kingdom. They weren't listening and being attentive to what it was that he was teaching, not just doing in his healing people, but what he was teaching them. He was teaching them that the kingdom of God is first and foremost the reign of God in your own heart, that the kingdom of God is within you. That the seed that's sown into the different types of soil are sown into the hearts of every human being. It's that seed that has to be nurtured and protected internally inside of us. So that the kingdom of God isn't just a kind of a political movement or a cultural or social movement, which we have many of in our days, that are designed to set things right by our standards, to let other people know how their lives need to be changed. The world will be a better place if everybody else changes their life. And this is exactly what Jesus opposed. He opposed us getting on our stand and telling other people, "You've got to change your life." When he healed the two blind men, he said, "Don't let anybody know this. Don't go out and start preaching this. Don't go out and make a big deal of it." Sure, because he knew that people were going to start running around and gathering around him to use him, to see him as just an instrument to obtain their ends, their idea of what the kingdom of God on earth is going to look like. But he would have none of it. So when they went around and broadcasted anyways, he just left that area. He wasn't going to play their games. He wasn't going to join into this sort of masquerade of the kingdom is other people changing. No, he asked these people, these two blind men, to be silent, not just so that they wouldn't broadcast this misunderstanding of who the Messiah, what the Messiah is going to do in this world, but he wanted them to be silent so that it could sink into them what happened to them, so that they could experience that inner kingdom, as our beloved Father Romu would put it. concluded so they could explore their inner universe, so they could start seeing with the eyes of their heart and not just with the eyes of their head. And so our Lord comes healing every disease and infirmity. He doesn't, that's what it said in this gospel, but of course in his hometown where people didn't have much faith, he didn't always heal. And then subsequently in the church, he doesn't always heal, less and less so, maybe less and less so over time, but at different times, different contexts, there's healing. We know healing in this day and age. But we also know ever since St. Paul, who wanted to be healed of his thorn in the flesh, but God said, no, this is for your own salvation. My strength is perfected in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. And so instead of healings occurring in our physical body, and our physical surroundings, the trials and tribulations that we experience, maybe God will heal and protect us in various different kinds of ways, but really they become the occasion in which God heals our soul, in which Christ's strength is perfected in us, in which we come to experience that his grace is sufficient for us. Again, it's this profound internal awareness. It's not that the world needs to be set straight around me. It's not that my body needs to be set straight so that I can truly fulfill what it is to be a human being. It's not that other people need to behave in a certain kind of way for the world to be set straight. It's that I need to say, Lord, will you change me? I need to be silent and let that kingdom, which is planted as a little seed in the heart, start to grow, be nurtured and cared for and protected. And so in these summaries, the summary statement at the end of the gospel, that Lord's healing every disease, I think especially now our souls, and this is the good news of the kingdom, is that the kingdom of God changes us from within. God loves us so much that he doesn't want to make our life simple or easy so that we can remain in this state of delusion, focused on ourselves. Instead, he wants to enter us. He wants to make his home in us. And he wants to beautify that home with his grace. So then we can go back to the first of these three summary statements of our Lord's ministry. He was teaching in their synagogues. And in the simplest way, if we want to have the kingdom of God established in our hearts, we would do well simply to read the Gospels, and especially to read those texts in the Gospels that are Jesus' teaching, like the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, or the Upper Room Discourse, the Gospel of John 13, 14 through 17. Other texts like this teaching during Passion Week, all of the teaching about his coming and our importance for our being ready, being prepared, being attentive for when the Master is going to return for us. The different chapters on teaching in parables. If we were just to take some time every day in our life, just a few minutes, 15 minutes even, and read some of his teaching, and let that word be planted in our hearts. And if we were simply to pray to him, Lord, will you make this true in me? If we read his teaching, we'll see straight away we can't live that life. We are not able to turn the other cheek. We're not able to go through life without anger. We're not able to go the extra mile. We're not able to do this. We're able to do it for a little bit, once or twice, but then we start becoming bitter that nobody's thanking us or acknowledging us. We become resentful. It starts to build up in us. And so we don't read the teaching of our Lord in order so that we can make our lives suitable or fitting to him. We read this teaching so that his seed, with his word, which is the seed of tremendous and immense power, takes up residence in us, because he is that seed. He comes to live in us as we really let his word soak into us. His word soak into us. And if in that context our yearning is for him to be the one to change our lives, with this intense awareness that apart from him we can do nothing, meaning that all the things that we do in this life amount to nothing, They all vanish, they perish. But those things that are done from him abide forever. When our life is growing in our ability to cooperate, to work together, to let go of the things that we want to obtain on our own strength, but to yearn for Christ to be working in us, those things will abide forever. And so our Lord's teaching on our Lord's practice of healing reveals to us that he is the one who establishes his kingdom within us. And we have to resist with every fiber of our body trying to externalize that so that we kind of jump on the bandwagon of wanting cultural, societal change without me changing. Everybody else will change and the world will be a wonderful place. It's totally delusional. We in the church need to be first to stand up and say, I want God to change me. I need to be changed. We don't need to be defensive if somebody tells us that our behavior is inappropriate or wrong or crazy or immoral, but we can say, yes, it is. That's right. I want to be different. Pray for me. We don't have to be defensive. And if we really want to cultivate this type of good news of the kingdom, of God coming and changing and happening us and changing us, then we would do well to simply immerse ourselves a little bit of time in the teaching of our Lord. The Gospels, and especially, sure, all of the scriptures, St. Paul's writings, but especially those sections of the Gospels where Jesus is teaching us. And in that context, asking him to be the one who changes us, to make us fitting vessels for him to live in. In the name of